Well, Professor Neville Pearce is a co-leader of the Kāinga Ora Housing and Health Research Program. He's with us today. Hey, Neville, tēnā koe. My name's Dale. Thank you for joining us on Wāte. Kia ora.
Kia ora, Dale. Thank you very much for having us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Well, look, you're suggesting that the new research is warning that the government's proposed move-on orders could criminalise children as young as 14 for homelessness-related behaviour and to deepen harm for vulnerable rangatahi. Pushing it back into the side streets or into industrial estates, homelessness isn't solving the problem. Your research is suggesting the bill creates a new pathway into the justice system for young people. Might you be kind enough to elaborate on your thinking there, please, Neville?
Certainly, Dale. So the bill, as it lays out, is if you're given a move or an order and you don't comply, that it's a $2,000 fine or a possible prison sentence. And that applies to children as young as 14. So we have to remember that half of the people who are homeless in New Zealand are under 25. So this bill is deliberately has a provision for 14-year-olds in it. So and unfortunately, it's all too common in New Zealand these days, when you see a 14-year-old girl in the street, this bill would allow the police to give her a move-on order, and if she doesn't comply, to send her off to prison. Now, the real problem with this is that we already have this cycle where those young people who are homeless in New Zealand are already 8 to 10 times more likely to wind up in the criminal justice system. When they wind up in the criminal justice system and they come out of it, it's much harder to find housing and employment to sustain the housing. So they wind up homeless again. So they wind up back in the criminal justice system. And this doesn't do anybody any good. And this bill just speeds up the start of that vicious cycle. What we really want is for the government to put more funding into providers so as that we can house more, we can house young people more effectively. But this bill is a step in the wrong direction, whereas housing would be the answer to homelessness and would be a step in the right direction.
Well, your mahi with Kāinga Ora is looking at both housing and health research. So the correlation between no house and health, maybe we can touch on that as well, because this is an area that isn't discussed as much. We talk about people sleeping rough, but the detrimental impacts it's having on their health, and indeed could be long-term health, are significant, but sometimes understated. Might you be kind enough?
Oh, absolutely. So we've looked at young people who have experience of homeless or have long-term chronic homeless die on average about 35 years earlier than the rest of the population. So they have a life expectancy of about 45. It is the worst possible thing you can do for your health. It's far more risky than smoking or even doing drugs. Being in homelessness and the things that go around that are really chronically bad for your health. And we've shown, in particular, we've worked with the People's Project in Hamilton, and where we've housed people, then up to 5 years later, you can see a reduction of 50% in the amount of hospitalizations that they will have, and that they're living longer, better, healthier lives, with more employment, less an 80% reduction in mental health needs, 50% reduction in crime. It's really hard to get your life back together or to move yourself forward when you're sleeping on the streets and you don't have that support. It's moving people directly into permanent housing that helps their well-being, their aura, and that from there they can improve their mental health. And in order to make the health system work and the way our health system is designed in New Zealand, if you have something, you have to go to the GP, you have to make the appointment, you have to get the test results for whatever the GP thinks, you have to make that appointment, you have to go back to the GP, then you probably go to the specialist, then you go to the hospital. These are all appointments that need to be organized, made on time, and that just doesn't work if you're sleeping on the street, if each of these is a financial barrier to get to, if they're really difficult. So it is, that's why, and the hospital system is extraordinarily expensive. It costs over $5,000 a night in hospital, whereas if we can put people in permanent housing, they won't need that hospitalization, and they'll be able to improve their health and well-being themselves.
Tēnā koe. Our guest is Professor Neville Pearce. Well, we've been critical of a lack of focus on the needs of our rangatahi. If they end up sleeping rough before they're even 20, I mean, what's their life trajectory going to be? Difficult out there to find work, and even if we find a house, we almost need to have wraparound services of some sort to uffy these young people so they can really, you know, find their feet. What would you say, Neville, about a lack of focus on the dire straits that rangatahi are in, bearing in mind we've got the highest youth unemployment rate of all time, it would seem, as we speak?
Yes, so we have the highest youth homelessness rate and the highest youth unemployment rate. And those are linked because you can't get a job if you're not housed. And while you're talking about the need for support services, and I totally agree, the first thing we need to do when we're talking about homeless youth is to get them housed, and then we need to support them afterwards. And so long-term stable housing is has been shown to have a huge impact on their future employment and their future interactions with the criminal justice system. It's about breaking that cycle and giving people an out that isn't criminalizing them. So if you're sleeping on the street, giving you a place to stay permanently, a platform to build your own security and to know where your place is. So as then you can improve your health and move on and look for employment, not be moved on by the police.
And of course, then you've got the record, as you say, and if you end up interacting with the police and perhaps even doing prison time, well, then it becomes doubly hard to find accommodation. Just finally, we've got the submissions closing on July the 2nd. It's seemed compressed. But also, might you be kind enough to comment on a corridor that says really the police already have the powers to move people on? It's in a different right that they hold, but some are saying that this particular move on orders really is trying to just make it look like the coalition government's being tough on crime. It's really a political ploy rather than a genuine concern for the health and well-being of those who are kāinga kore. Your thoughts?
So the main aspect this bill adds is a criminal element for 14 to 18-year-olds. That is the current power that the police don't have that this is adding to it. So if somebody is disruptive, the police already have that power. If, as the minister suggests, that the right thing to do is for the police to help and to help them, the police have always had that power and they don't need any power to be helpful. What this bill is adding is a fine system for being homeless and a criminal charge for younger for 14 to 18-year-olds, neither of which are in any way helpful to solving the young person's homelessness.
Tēnā koe. And just an update on this housing and health research program for kāinga ora. Is this an old piece of maki or something that's ongoing for you, Neville?
So we keep on showing the health effects of housing and both homelessness, which is really bad for your housing, and the poor quality housing that exists in New Zealand. So what we've been looking at in particular is the Healthy Homes Initiative and the impact that's making. Those are mostly Māori-led providers who are going in, doing the mahi of fixing young children's homes where there's a health risk for the home. Because it's much more efficient and to prevent the hospitalizations from housing-related diseases and to get people into the home. We've shown that the Healthy Home Initiative is saving the government almost $400 million every year by improving the standards of the people's homes and housing. Housing is one of those absolute key determinants of health. You just can't have health unless you're housed.
Tēnā koe. Good talking with you. Thanks so much, Neville, for your thoughts, time, perspectives,
thank
and
you
experience.
Very much, Dale.
Kia ora, man. Professor Neville Pearce joining us there. He's with Otago University.